Chapter 14. Bubbling. "Give me 5 more minutes," I called.
"No, it's bloody late. Forget it," Dad shouted.
"Fine. 2 more minutes then."
I turned back to Galactic Conquest, typing a message.
"Did you phone them? The suicide prevention line?"
"Yes, thank you, XMA," my general replied. Dad pulled the door open, marching over to the computer.
"Turn it off now."
"No, fuck off," I cried.
"You've got to stop that stupid game."
He pushed me out of the way, switching off the machine.
"What the fuck, Dad?"
I jumped up, punching him in the face.
"Can't you see it's destroying you? Punch me all you like. You can't always get your own way."
"I just saved someone from..."
"I don't care if you saved the Queen of England. Get to bed."
With a clenched jaw, I lunged at him, a blur of smoky tears and pounding headaches. The next day at school, I tried to forget about it. Hopefully, my friend and loyal general was okay. I hadn't spoken to him since Dad had pulled me away the night before. Lucas and I were playing a game on my laptop. We didn't notice Charlotte coming in.
"What are you two up to?" she asked, smiling.
In her hands, she carried a whiteboard and marker.
"We're playing flash games,"
I replied, focused on the screen.
"Flash games?"
They're computer games," Lucas said.
"Right, okay. Can you pause?"
"Let's get this over with."
"Fine, we'll pause. What do you want?"
She sat down, writing something on the whiteboard.
"Is this another lecture about kindness?"
"Now then. Your dad told me you were very upset at a game last night."
"Upset? Only because Dad got in the way."
"No, I was helping someone.
Why would I get upset?"
"Well, don't you preach about helping people, or are you just a hypocrite?"
"Do you know what that means?"
"Yes. Why else would I use the word?"
"Oh, is the game about helping people? That's positive and kind."
"I've been playing for 2 years. It's more important than school."
"You know, it's actually very important you come to school."
"It's your education, Max," Lucas added.
"Yes, it is your education, and we want to help you. Have you ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs?" Charlotte asked.
"No."
She drew a layered pyramid. "It's a way of knowing what responsibilities to prioritise in life." She pointed to the first layer.
"What do you think goes here?"
"Stuff that keeps me alive."
She filled in the first layer.
"Get to the point. You think school is more important than what I do?"
"You're clever. And you know education is more important than..."
"It isn't. You don't know what I do. You wouldn't even understand it."
"I understand it," Lucas interjected. "I used to play these games."
"Yeah, but you did nothing like this," I replied.
"I don't have to understand it," Charlotte rebutted. "All we want is you safe and happy at Portum. Computer games aren't part of that."
"Bullshit."
Fortunately, my friend was okay. We kept playing like nothing ever happened.
"We need to talk about Galactic Conquerors," Dad said.
"It's Galactic Conquest," I corrected.
"Right. Galactic Conquest. When you have a problem, talk to me."
"You wouldn't listen last night."
"I've been doing this for years. I can handle it. Besides, it's not only me running the Paladins. I have help."
"Then what's stopping you making another friend at school?"
"There he goes, changing the subject.
I have Jaden. And all my friends in the Paladins."
He looked at my screen, trying to perceive what was going on.
"What makes you enjoy that game so much? It's just people walking around."
"I have nothing else."
"What about Portum? It's lovely when you're there with Jaden and Lucas."
The stairs at school terrified me, and I never thought I'd amount to anything academically. I found such fears too embarrassing to admit, and I didn't want my parents to worry.
The Paladins was my greatest achievement. It gave me a reason to live. But how could an outsider understand its value?
Dad sighed. Never mind. He stood up, walking to the door. We're trying to transfer your statement to an EHCP, so it'd be good if you aimed for at least 2 GCSEs. I had no idea what an EHCP was. It's an education, health and care plan. Nor did I see myself doing any GCSEs. Besides, more pressing things were transpiring online. Apologies in advance, but it's time for another exposition dump. Back in early June of that year, Drax 14 had briefly returned. He found the Shadow Imperium in tatters. Major 279 had left, and Lemons 43 wasn't good enough for the Devil Dog veterans. On request from Drax 14, Diablus 034 and Invicta 11 took his place. As most of the Guild's original members joined me, the Shadow Imperium became a vessel for the Devil Dog veterans to continue their legacy. Diablus 034's act was tearing up the alliance between our guilds. He and his men didn't believe we were pure soldiers. And despite Lemons 43's efforts to normalise relations, he and the Devil Dog veterans didn't want to associate with us. Against my better instincts, I went to their base to smooth things over.
No, why would we ally with cancer? Diablus 034 mocked.
We're actual soldiers. We don't have time for kids who think they can do something, Invicta 11 jabbed.
If you're so pure, why did your leader abandon you? I retorted.
That's where you're wrong, XMA, Diablus 034 rebutted. We've always embodied real soldiers. The Devil Dogs have a legacy to uphold, and we won't tarnish it by allying with you.
Are you declaring war on us instead?
No, we're not aggressive like you.
Tell you what, Evictor 11 said. Expel that dyslexic retard from your commandos, and we might take you seriously.
Take that back, I demanded. Now!
We're just calling you out for what you are, cancerous rejects. I stepped closer, and one of Invicta 11's guards fired a warning shot. Chaos ensued, a violent firefight rocking the screen. We held our own until they outflanked us. The Paladins received a lot of cryptic threats that summer, but we couldn't prove it was the Shadow Imperium. Blocking them in-game didn't stop them attacking our base, so by resisting their provocations we hoped they'd get bored and leave us alone. I'd just started Year 10, and I was running out of time.
You need to do Maths and English. That's 3 GCSEs. But we need you to pick 2 more subjects, Dad explained.
I'll do RE and Media, I guess, I replied.
Remember, climb the ladder. If you don't pass 5, you can't stay at Portum, and because there aren't any other placements, you'll have to stay at home.
Oh, more time for Galactic Conquest, then.
Forget that. You're going to a school no matter what. You've got a chance other children would kill for. Don't blow it.
Come on. Please don't send me to residential. I'd rather stay at Portum.
Don't climb the ladder, and you might end up in a school you hate.
I looked at the doorway, longing for my computer. Hopefully Bradford 943 handled those raiders okay.
Listen, Max, it's happened to other children, and we don't want it to happen to you. Work with Lucas, he knows what's coming down the line.
Why can't I just stay at home?
Because you're a bright boy. We're trying to help you, why can't you see it?
5 subjects, most students took more. It sounded reasonable on paper. Pass them all and get into 6th form. With fear of a residential placement as my motivator, I tried to attend class. Everyone encouraged me to better myself, even Bradford 943. I attended all my subjects, and on some days I had to learn to make lunch for myself. Charlotte took a picture of that first bacon sandwich. Dad brought home the Romeo and Juliet movie he'd watched in his school days. Lucas and I toiled through the hardest algebra questions, and we slaved away making stop-motion films for media. But nothing could prepare me for English. The school ran its lessons in sets, from the best performing children to the lowest performing. My cohort at Portum was placed in the bottom set for English. The teacher never stopped shouting. The students engaged in pencil throwing wars. Jordan always smiled in Portum, greeting everyone. He saw our classmates as his friends. The two boys behind him grinned, poking him and exploiting his naivety. Everyone else seemed preoccupied, avoiding pencils and trying to work. The moment you stepped inside that classroom, you were in the maelstrom. Thunderous shouting, not a single window open, not a light on. My body became a sauna, heat forged in fear. Romeo and Juliet, a battle between two households. The English classroom, a frightening fight for survival. Words, analysis, all a plunge into boredom. Unable to maintain control, the teacher always screamed and shouted at us. In an effort to remedy the issues, they decided that halfway through the lesson, we'd be split off into two classes. The most well-behaved students went to Portum with my cohort, where Rosalyn, a music teacher, desperately tried to deliver the curriculum. By that point, all I could see in Romeo and Juliet were putrid words on a page containing nothing I found of substance. I gave up the subject when Jordan burst into tears after being struck by a pencil. "Lucas, this is crap. We're leaving," I said. He didn't disagree, breathing a sigh of relief.
"So the fuckers just threw a pencil at him?" asked Bradford 943. "Yeah. I got the hell out of there," I replied.
"Sorry you had to go through that."
"I'm fine now, thanks. Not going to English again, though."
Galactic Conquest, my sanctuary at home, was all I had to live for. But even then I was trading one battleground for another. The Shadow Imperium had gained in strength. Occasionally, one or two of them would attack our base. Small provocations designed to unnerve us, trick us into becoming the aggressor. We saw right through their ploys. We didn't play into them. I hoped Drax 14 would come around and order them to stop. But it was hard to ignore the comments they made about us.
"Don't take them seriously. They have a gay general. One of their commandos is dyslexic. They're retarded. They have the aim of a toddler."
Such comments drove paranoia in my brain. What if they attacked us while I was at school? While I was sleeping? They could destroy my hard work at any moment. I believed Diabolus 034 and Invicta 11 were manipulating Drax 14. Maybe I could win by showing him the truth. I didn't have any hard evidence, so I forged some, creating falsified screenshots of Diabolus 034 planning a coup. Surely Drax 14 would listen.
"My spies reported this," I declared, my fingers trembling as I typed.
"You have spies in the Shadow Imperium?" he challenged me.
"No, we saw it in the Skype chat."
"How did you get into our Skype chat?"
"We didn't. He posted it publicly."
"I don't care how you got it. Is it true or not?"
"Yes."
He said nothing else. Just another failed plan as the Shadow Imperium crept closer. Under my leadership, the Paladins prepared for anything, everything. In the middle of a noisy classroom, I drafted battle plans in my head. Upon returning home, I instructed my forces in newly devised strategies.
"You're paranoid. It's not going to be World War III, Bradford 943 said. "They're cowards. They'll never fight us on our terms." "They've attacked us with small squads," I said.
"Yeah, to provoke us into attacking them. They know we can't win at their base."
"Why not?"
"Have you seen the number of bunkers and barricades on those bridges? It's better we leave them alone. They'll move on eventually."
"I've never seen the Devil Dogs give up. They think they're pure warriors or some shit."
"You and I know how guilds work. Eventually they'll be confronted with a greater threat, and they'll forget all about us. We're here to enjoy the game. You shouldn't be stressing over this."
Bradford 943 had a point, but as term dragged on, the pressure increased. Our usual bus escort left, and the journeys became longer. Lessons became more repetitive, and my endurance continued to wane. I tapped my feet, gaze fixated on my computer.
"Just consider going to English," Dad said.
"After what happened to Jordan? No way."
Okay, fine.
For most people, threats in the school corridors are invisible. For me, danger always rendered itself visible. At any moment, I could become entertainment for a pack of hungry Year 11s. Balls, arms, legs, bags, they all crashed into me. Every second, I'd have to discern between hostile and non-hostile sounds. So Jaden and I formed a non-verbal agreement to watch each other's backs. Without Lucas, Jaden, or anyone else, I always had to be alert. On the journey to Portum, I had a choice of two stairs. One of them was wide with only two flights. The other was inside a courtyard, albeit narrower, with a slippery railing. A lot of Portum students favoured it, including me. Fog blinded my vision. Morning chills got under my coat. Before climbing the slender staircase, I peered behind me.
"Nobody can attack you from behind. Safe to go up."
The door smashed open like an artillery barrage.
"I'll fucking do ya!"
a boy roared. I quaked, paralysed by an aura of fright. Two teenagers enthralled in animalistic instinct, their voices unending war cries. Pulverising punches, riveting kicks, nuclear violence. Caught in the middle of the stairs, I turned to flee. But in my path stood a girl, her eyes flashing with terror. We stood at the same height, but she seemed younger.
Follow me, come on, get the words out.
We stared at each other, unable to speak.
Can't just stand here. I'm sorry.
I dashed upstairs, braving the battle in front of me, narrowly avoiding an earth-shattering kick to the stomach. Diary of Jane by Breaking Benjamin playing in my head. Music and adrenaline carried me up to Portum. I didn't stop until I reached the kitchen.
"Oh, that's quite an impressive run,"
Charlotte commented. Shell-shocked, I pretended not to hear her.
What if they had kicked me? Why couldn't I help her? I would have done it on Galactic Conquest. No, you made it out alive. Don't be paranoid.
I only told Bradford 943. Nobody else would understand. The very thought of admitting vulnerability brought on an embarrassment that prevented me ever vocalising my feelings. Though it hurt, I preferred to soldier on.